streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Memorial Day ceremonies took place across the country this weekend. In St. Germain, Wisconsin, people honored local heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice. This man's brother was killed in Vietnam.
He was 19 when he went off to Vietnam. It's a tough day.
Later this morning, President Trump will lay a wreath at Arlington National Cemetery. Meanwhile, the president is not happy with Russian President Putin.
I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time. Always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all.
His comments came after a deadly Russian drone strike over the weekend. President of the European Union is pushing back on the 50% tariffs Trump imposed on its goods and asked for a delay.
Could we move it from June 1st to July 9th? And I agreed to do that, and that she said we will rapidly get together and see if we can work something out.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. If you're celebrating the Memorial Day holiday and you're overindulging, plan to have a designated driver or utilize a rideshare app. But if someone you know is in a pinch, AAA is offering an option to keep impaired drivers from getting behind the wheel. The Tow2Go program means anybody in a bind who doesn't have a way home except for their car, but has had too much, can call AAA and they'll tow your car where you need it to go. You do not need to be a AAA member to use the service. It's available through tomorrow morning. And a proposal at the state capitol would expand early voting hours across Wisconsin. Joanne Krulatz reports.
The Republican-sponsored bill would address inequalities between voting in urban and rural areas, providing a 20-hour minimum for in-person absentee voting without needing to make an appointment. The measure would also establish a funding mechanism to help municipalities meet minimum hour requirements. Proponents say adding more opportunity for early voting will help minimize congestion and possible errors on Election Day.
And anytime you're in a car, you should be wearing a seatbelt. That's what authorities are focusing most on for the next few days. Law enforcement agencies across the country and across Wisconsin have started their annual campaign to reinforce seatbelt wearing. Melissa Kay has more.
The annual Click It or Ticket campaign begins May 19th and runs through June 1st. Buckling up is one of the easiest and most effective steps you can take to survive a crash. Wisconsin law allows officers to stop and cite motorists for not wearing a seatbelt, and drivers can be fined for every unbuckled passenger in their vehicle. The goal of the Click It or Ticket campaign is to reduce fatal crashes and coincides with the first summer travel holiday.
You can find more Wisconsin news at civicmedia.us. Hope you're having a safe holiday weekend. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
The Pack is back in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers return to the practice field tomorrow for the start of OTAs, organized team activities. It's the next step in the team's offseason program to see what they've got in rookie wide receivers like Matthew Golden and Savion Williams, selected in the draft. Hockey, the Milwaukee Admirals season came to an end last night. They lost 3-2 at home to the Texas Stars to end their playoff run. Baseball, Brewers with a 3-game series at home against the Boston Red Sox today through Wednesday. The Crew with a 6-5 win over the Pirates on Sunday, thanks to RBI doubles from Caleb Durbin and Bryce Terang, who was just 1-for-24 heading into the game.
I'm not even really scuffling. I'm hitting balls hard, just right two people. It's big to get that run, but like I said earlier, it's Durbin to move the chain. You know, those guys to have good at-bats is the reason why I even got an opportunity. So you can go down a big rabbit hole.
That's the Brewers' Bryce Terang. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high in the upper 60s to near 70 today. The wind will be east at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 47 for a low tomorrow with a few scattered showers and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Todd Alba will be here to break down all the news of the weekend. Kathy Giorgio, whose book has been banned in Waukesha, will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning, and welcome back to a program with some of our highlights from recent interviews. And that would include, in just a couple of minutes here, an interview with Devin Remiker, one of three candidates to be state Democratic Party chair. We talked to William Garcia in our last hour, and we'll hear from Joe Zepecki later in this hour. Before we hear from Devin Remiker, just to let you know, tomorrow we are back live. We'll have author Laura Bird on, and she will talk about some of the hot new summer reads coming out and how she finds out about these hot new reads before everybody else does. We'll also talk to a Dan Schaefer on Wednesday this week instead of Tuesday. Also on Wednesday, we'll talk to Matt Brusky, part of a coalition of groups that is asking Governor Tony Evers to veto the state budget bill if it does not pass to a level that supports schools and other vital services in the state. We'll also talk to Jeremy Granger from Citizen Action. On Thursday, Sean O'Malley talking all about the markets and money. And we'll have Melissa Baldoff with our climate check. That's all coming up. But first, here's my conversation with Devin Remiker, one of the three candidates running to be state party chair. We started by talking about the state of the race so far. Tell us more about the campaign. You've picked up some very key endorsements and met a whole lot of people along the way.
Absolutely. Well, picked up a lot of mileage, that's for sure. I have traveled the state from Hayward to Kenosha and to Chippewa Falls, all over. And I think my campaign now has hit 100 public endorsers, some folks who are also supporting me, but not ready to slap their name on the website yet. But I'm really proud to have, Chair Ben Wickler, former Chair Martha Lanning, former Chair Martha Love, former Chair Jeffrey Neubauer, and over 20 county party chairs from every corner of the state. Along with a host of other party delegates, leaders, joining my team. And I think folks are really just ready and itching to get back in the fight as quickly as possible this year and are excited to support me as the candidate who can do that.
I don't know if the endorsement from Ben Wickler, how much of it comes as a surprise to folks, if they thought that the outgoing chair was not going to endorse throughout this race, or if it's something that makes sense, since, as he said, he's been working side by side with you for a big chunk of his time as chair here. Would you say that Ben's endorsement were you expecting him not to endorse throughout the entirety of this race for chair?
You know, I got into this race not knowing if he would or would not endorse me, but I'm very glad he did. Obviously, Ben is someone that I have worked closely with for the past 6 years. About half of his tenure, I was his executive director, so working as his right hand. And honestly, I think that a lot of folks are just hoping that a lot of the great things that we have built together over those 6 years can continue and that we have the resources we need to compete, that we can keep running the best in class program and be the strongest state party in the country. And I'm absolutely honored to have his endorsement and really excited about the reception I've already got from having that out there in the world.
Does that how do you feel like that is going to translate? Because obviously Ben was well regarded in the state, and one could certainly say very well regarded outside of the state, bringing so much attention to the Democratic Party of Wisconsin that wasn't there previously. Do you feel, though, that that puts a little extra pressure on you to be following in Ben and keeping that national spotlight on Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think all of us candidates felt like, you know, there was some pretty, pretty big shoes to fill at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And, you know, I think my unique strength is I just happen to know how big those shoes are better than anybody else, having worked with them so closely. But certainly it does add a little bit of pressure having his direct support to make sure I could rise to the occasion. But I feel really confident given my experiences, whether it was heading up the People v. Musk, the effort that not only helped Susan Crawford win the Supreme Court race, but also, you know, sort of sent Elon Musk packing from the White House. And as we heard yesterday, maybe from politics in general, I think I have a pretty good track record of being able to excite people in the state and engage audiences nationally as well.
We're talking to Devin Remiker, a candidate for chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. That decision will be made by delegates to the state Democratic Party convention in Wisconsin Dells next month. I've asked before, and I will ask all three candidates again, to help break past any initial, say, geographic assumptions about candidates that, you know, you'll be seen as the insider candidate slash the Madison candidate. Joe Zepecki might be seen as the Milwaukee candidate or the outside of the current party candidate. William Garcia would be seen more as like the outstate or the rural candidate. But in all cases, since we can't combine the best of all of you into a blender and get one, you know, super chair, we have to ask all of you, how do you break out of those perceived boxes? What is it that people should know about you beyond, you know, what makes up that initial feeling? Like, well, you've been inside DPW, so if we vote for you, there won't be much to change.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think I sort of came to DPW from a bit of a different background. I was born and raised in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, out in the country, as we called it, out on County Highway 42, which a lot of people know as they're driving up to Door County through Two Rivers. And I was on an acre of land surrounded by farm fields that my great grandparents bought from a farmer. We weren't farmers ourselves. You know, definitely was a very rural upbringing. And then I went to school at UW-La Crosse. I sort of was kind of like the outstate political operative for the first half of my career in politics, working for State Representative Steve Doyle and then Congressman Ron Kind after that over the sprawling 3rd Congressional District. So although I've certainly been at the party for a while, I think I do bring a somewhat unique perspective given my political experience on the ground. And I've been really glad that I had that because it helped me figure out that, you know, we need to make sure county parties get more support all around this state. That's something we did through the Kind campaign, helping to support year-round offices like the Portage County Democrats. And it makes a huge difference for county parties to be able to have that home base and that presence in their community.
Well, I know, Devin, you've hit on a lot of these themes already. I think Tony writing on YouTube gives me a good opportunity to let you kind of put these, a lot of what I've asked you about in your own words, in terms of one overarching view. And from Tony, it says, what is your vision? Why should I be excited about Devin Remiker leading the Democratic Party of Wisconsin?
Great question, Tony. Thank you. So ultimately, my vision is about how we evolve the party to its next iteration. And I think each cycle we learn something. It is a learning experience in wins and in losses. And I sort of think about when I look at the long view of what the party's been able to do, starting a lot of our work with year-round organizing under Chair Lanning and built upon by Chair Wickler, really taking everything we do to new heights. And we now have an organization that both organizes year-round, supports candidates up and down the ballot, no matter how tough their districts are. We have to figure out how we sort of push to that next level. And I think that the way that we're going to do that is by making sure that we are allocating our resources to expand our program and open new programmatic tracks. That can really make a huge difference. How do we sort of get 80% of the return on 20% of the investment? And when I look at sort of our county party structure and our party structure, I think that is a place where we have the most room to grow. I think part of the reason why, as Democrats, we have sometimes struggled to reach people is that even if we're knocking on doors and we're doing it year round, there's something that just feels inherently a little transactional about someone kind of asking you questions, taking notes. I think that we need to expand into more of a holistic community presence all around this state. And quite frankly, we need to rebuild trust with voters that have lost faith in the Democratic Party. And a lot of that comes down to sort of national trends and national campaigns that we don't have full control over here in Wisconsin. But I think we all have to do our part and make sure that we are showing up, listening to folks, and that they can see themselves and believe in the Democratic Party again. And I think this year is going to be a lot of putting in that work, rebuilding trust so that we can lock arms and march forward in 2026. Because ultimately, to me, this comes down to making sure that we can win a trifecta and actually deliver a real policy change for the people of Wisconsin that's going to improve their lives and put to bed the era of Republican obstruction that we have had for over a decade here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. So in terms of what are you building toward, I think that word trifecta probably captures it as well as anything else we could say, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's really what it's about. I mean, I think that winning's great. I've helped to win a lot of elections in Wisconsin since 2018 and onward, and even before that in my other roles. But ultimately, winning isn't the measure of our work. The measure of our work is being able to pass policies that improve people's lives. That's why we're all in this fight. And that has to be our North Star.
Yeah. I mean, again, as somebody who was there the last time there was a trifecta, and it was only for 2 years, you know, 2009 and 2010, and then along came the Tea Party and everything else as a result of it. Most importantly, the Great Recession, which, you know, was the seeds were planted long before that. So there was only so much a Democratic trifecta could do. And yet we see, from a national standpoint, the first 2 years of the Clinton administration, the first 2 years of the Obama administration, the first 2 years of the Biden administration, you see tremendous progress that can be made when, you know, when Democrats are given that trifecta, whether in Washington or Madison. So, I mean, party organization is nice, finances are nice, but it really does come back to that trifecta. That is kind of the metric for anybody running for DPW chair, I guess, is the way I'd put it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why I'm honored to have the support of leaders Neubauer and leader Hesselbein for my chair campaign, because they believe I am the candidate that can help them win that trifecta. And this is just, I think, you know, finally having fair maps, finally having a political environment where it really feels like people are waking up to the Trump administration and what the Republican agenda has been for the working class in this country and in this state. I really think this is a unique opportunity, but we don't have time to waste. Just like you said, Pat, you know, who knows what the future holds? So if all we have is 2 years, we have to make the most of it and we have to take the shot while we have it. And I think that's 2026. We have to win big and send a message across this country, just like we did on April 1st by electing Susan Crawford to the Supreme Court. We can be a beacon for the entire country.
And that was the last thing I wanted to close on, was the note that Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor announced that she is going to be running for state Supreme Court next year against far-right Justice Rebecca Bradley. Again, it's a nonpartisan election, but increasingly these are nonpartisan in name only. Chris Taylor is a former Democratic legislator. I would imagine, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there are a whole lot of Democrats that are thrilled that Judge Taylor has announced for this race.
Count me as one of them. You know, I haven't heard of any other progressive candidates looking to hop into this. So looking forward to working hopefully with Chris Taylor next year to support her and her Supreme Court bid. And I think that ultimately, you know, Rebecca Bradley, far right is almost an understatement. She is by far the most radical Supreme Court justice on the bench and for the conservatives. And she is, you know, I think someone that we absolutely have to take down. Democrats cannot rest on their laurels. We have to expand that majority. She is just, you know, completely toxic.
And so look for that big race with Chris Taylor, and whether any other candidates get in, still many months to go. Devin Remiker, candidate for WisDems chair. Devin, good to connect with you again. Thank you so much. Safe travels.
Thanks for having me on.
Still to come, we'll hear from Joe Zepecki. That'll round out our interviews with candidates for state Democratic Party chair. But before we hear from Joe, a visit with State Senator Sarah Kieski about a new bill that's designed to protect affordable housing here in the state of Wisconsin. Hey, don't forget to sign up for our newsletters. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. We've got a weekday newsletter, my Sunday morning politics newsletter, a new monthly sports newsletter. So much information. Check it all out at the website. I'm Pat Kreitlow, reporting from Chippewa Falls, up north, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Better begins with human kindness. It's in a smile, a listening ear, a helping hand. At Aspirus Health, better begins with knowing you and your family, learning your health journey and your health needs. Aspirus caregivers are here to listen and provide the personalized care you deserve. For when you need to be better, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence. Compassion for people.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. Doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids!
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win!
Be a water-ready family this summer and keep your loved ones safe around water. Join the family at the SWC YMCA and learn from professionals how to become a better version of yourself while providing swimming lessons for young ones. The SWC YMCA is offering a summer special. Pay for the summer up front and they'll waive the new membership fee. Invest in yourself and your family and embark on your next summer adventure with confidence.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here. And right now, we're welcoming to our studios on the phone lines, Out Loud Marathon County. We have with us Andrea Hunvinik? I get close?
Hugenvik.
Okay. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I really, really appreciate you joining us. We've been looking for an opportunity to talk with Out Loud and bring a little more attention to this great organization and the work that's going on. And our producer here, Laura, found a perfect time of year to do this because May 17th is International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. And we'll get into that a little bit more in a moment and some of the outreach and events that are available with Out Loud. If you don't mind, Andrea, I would like to get into the history of the organization to kind of start things off.
Yeah, so Out Loud as an organization started just over a year ago. We brought together a group of folks from across Marathon County and most kind of Wausau metro area, but we've certainly got some people from kind of outer Marathon County as well involved with our group. To really come together and be able to create safe spaces for people, to be able to celebrate queer and trans joy, and to be able to just be together, and also to help do some outreach and some education within our community about what it's like to be queer and trans, what it's the sort of experience that people are having, and how we can do better to welcome queer and trans community members.
It's just a great thing to be able to highlight and talk about that this organization exists and there is something there for individuals. I have to say that for me, this hits personal ties. Now, I am as far as the rainbow goes, I am straight, but I moved to this state about 20 some years ago. And when me and my family moved here, there weren't a whole lot of mixed kids. I am Jewish and Catholic. I am Egyptian, Italian. I am the United Nations. I just have a lot of, and there, you know, especially here in central Wisconsin, this is before we had a bigger Hmong population and some of these things. So my family, we stood out, and it was, there was not a lot of, things that didn't make us feel like we stood out, that made us feel like we were part of the community, part of the area. To see organizations like this under on any level for any groups of people, small or large, is a win for us as a society, is a win for us as a state and as a whole. This just, you know, highlights and brings our state more, makes us look better as far as to other cities, to other states out there, which is important as every state in the union is trying to bring people to their state. I'm going at this from one angle right now, just to start off, because I feel like you covered, Andrea, the importance of this organization when it comes to the heart and the humanity of human beings. But to those that are maybe on the fence on it or anything, the economic impact an organization like this makes in being more friendly, a more friendly state, is gigantic. Take a look around the union and take a look at the country, the states that are increasing in population and that aren't. And there are certain factors that stand out as far as that goes. And states that are more welcoming are just doing better, whether it's the economy, the population, whatever it might be. So I would hope that anybody out there listening cares about this kind of thing, that what we're talking about here. But even if you don't, I bet you care about your taxes. I bet you care about your economy. This, an organization like this, In maybe in a domino way, but in a way, certainly a strong way, helps out our communities in many different angles and many different levels.
We are definitely seeing that. You know, here in central Wisconsin, and in Madison or Milwaukee, the kind of population is doing differently than it is here in central Wisconsin, but we're definitely interested in attracting more folks to central Wisconsin and to keeping more folks in central Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And something that we have definitely seen in communities across the country is that kids go to high school, they graduate, and then if they feel like they don't belong in their communities, they leave and they don't come back again. Mm-hmm. So being able to create spaces where those kids feel like they still belong and are welcome means they're more likely to stay in their communities rather than go somewhere else.
You couldn't have put it better. Exactly it. I can already tell, Andrea, you and I are going to get along really well, especially in where it takes me 100 words to say something, you get like 5 words and you say exactly what I was trying to say. So that's going to work out really good for us.
I regularly do interviews at my job, my actual day job as well, and we try and get them in 5 minutes. So I've gotten really good at that 5-minute interview.
That's good. I have to ask, because I love people. I love their stories, the arc of a human being. So I just out of interest for the audience, for myself, how did you get involved with Out Loud?
Yeah, so I was one of the initial founding members. My name is on the original IRS documents, which I'm very proud and excited that mm-hmm. that was a thing that happened for me. This has always been really close to my heart and something that's really important to me. I have a lot of empathy for all people and making sure that people have safe places to be. Even as a small child, I think my mom would tell you, that I was very interested, even in kindergarten, making sure that everyone really felt like they were safe and that they belonged in our classrooms and our spaces. So it's something that's been really close to my heart and important for me. Also, being here in central Wisconsin, I moved here to Wausau 8 years ago, and I really struggled to make friends. I really struggled to find people that were kind of my vibe and that were going to be good friends for me. And I think part of that is not that they're not here. It's that there's no sort of coalescing force for people to get together and meet each other and be together in community. So being a part of an organization that was going to build some of that coalescing force for people to be able to find one another was really important for me.
I really genuinely believe that everybody out there listening right now could find a relatability to that in one way or another. Certainly on the level you're talking about it or that I referenced earlier, or maybe you're the new kid at a school or the new at a job or something like that and having a difficult time talking to people, let alone making friends or anything.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
From the Civic Media Newsroom, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Governor Tony Evers is pushing for more support from the state legislature after a statewide tour highlighting his administration's accomplishments in workforce development. Republican lawmakers removed more than 600 measures from the governor's proposed budget, including investments in apprenticeship programs, the Worker Connection Pilot Program, and the Workforce Innovation Grant Program. During the tour, Evers also highlighted a lawsuit against the Trump administration's cuts to AmeriCorps. And a relief for many patients, UW Health has announced a new multi-year contract with Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. Officials say it will guarantee healthcare access for Anthem members at various UW Health facilities across the state. The two companies had been negotiating for months and just kept doing extensions of the same deal. According to a press release, the newly agreed upon contract will cover employer-based Medicare Advantage, Medicaid, and Affordable Care Act marketplace plans. And every spring, officials across the state have to remove abandoned boats from Wisconsin shorelines. It can be a really time-consuming process, and every year in Milwaukee, it's almost turned into a spectator event people show up to watch. And now, state lawmakers are proposing a bill that would add hefty fines for folks who leave their boats out. Joanne Krulatz has more.
The proposal comes days after a cabin cruiser named Deep Thought was pulled from the Milwaukee shoreline and a yacht named Sweet Destiny was towed from the St. Croix River. The proposed legislation would give owners 30 days to collect their boat after law enforcement authorities deem it abandoned. If the boat isn't removed, the owners could face a $10,000 fine and up to 9 months in jail.
You can find more Wisconsin stories and all our shows anytime on the Civic Media app or on our website, civicmedia.us. On your Memorial Day, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high in the upper 60s to near 70 today. The wind will be east at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 47 for a low tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with a few scattered showers and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special Memorial Day episode. We talk to Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs on our cemeteries, honoring our veterans and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's fair to say that Joe's got a thing or two to say about the bill that passed the House and the damage that it could do to people all across Wisconsin. Joe Zepecki, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing? Good to see your face. We missed you last week.
Well, thank you. It was great to get away. It is really great to be back. It's nice to have the sun out again. And we saw the note this morning that Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock is going to be the keynote speaker at the State Democratic Convention next month in Wisconsin Dells. Good get?
Oh, tremendous get. One of the most compelling and dynamic leaders within our party. You don't have to be religious to know that when you are listening to Rev Warnock, you are going to church. And so anybody who is not already signed up to attend the Wisconsin State Convention for the Democratic Party in the Wisconsin Dells on June 14th and 15th, don't miss out. You can still get your tickets and you can still get a little bit of preaching in your soul. It'll be good for all of us.
And I don't doubt he's going to have some things to say about where they are in the federal budget process, which I hasten to add is far from a done deal. It now goes to the Senate, where Republicans there are not necessarily in alignment with Republicans in the House. But regardless, Joe, the final product probably isn't going to be great for a lot of folks in Wisconsin. But let's start with what we know, and that's what passed the House early this morning. And just how bad could this thing be?
I want to start by quoting the distinguished gentleman from, where is Tom Massey from? Kentucky? Thomas Massey last night on the floor said the following about this monstrosity. Quote, "We are not rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. We are putting coal in the boiler and setting a course for the iceberg. If something is beautiful, you don't do it after midnight." End quote. And so that was one of the two Republicans who voted against this. There were other Republicans who took what is sure to go down in the annals of this country's history as profile and courage moments, where they voted present, which made it a 215 to 214 vote, which means that every single Republican member of Congress was the deciding vote for legislation that will make healthcare more expensive, make your energy bill more expensive, explode the debt, make it harder for people with low incomes to feed their families, all so Elon Musk can get another tax cut. And that is, you can't argue with any of that. And Republicans know it. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office have laid out the facts that millions of Americans will lose health care, that this bill is an incredible redistribution of income in this country, where those at the bottom will be hit the hardest and have a harder time getting by. And those at the very top, the Mark Zuckerbergs and the Elon Musks and the Jeff Bezos of the world, will get extraordinary benefits. So I guess my question is, what the hell is populist about any of that? About redistributing wealth from the working poor, from working families, from people working their tail off to get into the middle class, just so Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg can buy, I don't know, another Hawaiian island, another mega yacht. This is madness, and it is not what people who voted for Donald Trump voted for.
We're going to hammer this point a lot about how this isn't actual, the spending cuts aren't actually any kind of savings because they go to tax cuts, because we're going to take nothing for granted. All throughout 2024, I said, you know, people should know that Trump killed that immigration bill just so he could campaign on the issue. And yet it worked for him. Even though he killed the bill, he campaigned on the issue and he won on it. So how do Democrats avoid making that mistake again, where we point out the obvious, that this isn't going to you, it's going to millionaires and billionaires, and yet somehow I think everybody fears that Republicans are just going to get away with what Derek Van Orden just said, that somehow this is about cost savings when it's anything but.
Have you been watching Andor?
I have not.
Oh, my God. It's the greatest thing on TV you've seen in quite some time, whether or not you're a Star Wars fan. But I want to share something remarkable. This is, of course, a spy thriller just before, you know, Luke Skywalker saves the galaxy. But Andor is this interregnum, and there's a speech from Mon Mothma, who is one of the leaders of the Rebel Alliance. And so for the first time in the last couple of weeks, people saw her speech to the Galactic Senate. And I want you to listen to this quote and tell me if any of it sounds familiar. "The distance between what is said and what is known to be true has become an abyss. Of all the things at risk, the loss of an objective reality is perhaps the most dangerous. The death of truth is the ultimate victory of evil. When truth leaves us, when we let it slip away, when it is ripped from our hands, we become vulnerable to the appetite of whatever monster screams the loudest."
Well, if that doesn't describe what you see on C-SPAN every day, I don't know what does. I have to ask you where you are in the campaign for state Democratic Party chair. We had all the conventional or congressional district conventions. What you up to these days?
Working my tail off, running around like a head with its chicken cut off. I'll be up north next week, going up to Washera later today. Was in Ozaukee County last night. It's going great because people know that all is not well with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. People know that, as Bernie Sanders says, change never comes from the top down. And while, you know, we certainly are surprised that Ben Wickler went back on his word and commitment to stay out of this race, which no one made him do, by the way, he chose to do that on his own, and then a month into it decided he knows best. And frankly, I think they and I have been a little surprised by the response, which is people going, "Wait a minute, you said you were going to stay out, and it is the delegates to the convention who should decide this thing." So I'm feeling great, picking up support every single day. And if you're going to convention, I'd be honored to earn your support as well.
Joe Specky's with us. We've been talking about his run for state party chair. And before we get back to that, I did want to ask you about one development during the week here, and that is Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, a former state legislator, announcing that she'll be running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Most likely, conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley will be running for re-election as well. A lot of folks see that that matchup between Rebecca Bradley and Chris Taylor as, you know, the best possible. If you're a progressive, you want to see this election. I'm sure a lot of people on the right feel the same way about Chris Taylor. What's your early view on the way the race looks right now?
Well, I'm not sure that Chris Taylor will be the only candidate, but Chris is certainly a proven progressive with a track record. What I want to focus on is telling folks why this matters. I know it seems a little strange that 7 weeks after the last court race, we're at this again, right, with a 45-week campaign. Because we all just heard that after Susan Crawford won, we've locked in the progressive majority on the state court for a while. And we have. And here's why I would ask folks to buckle up and strap in and lock in and get ready to go again. That progressive majority is guaranteed through August of 2028. In November of 2028, there will be a presidential election in Wisconsin. We have seen Republicans try to steal elections before, try to strike at the very heart of our democracy. And if you care about that, if you care about the will of the people being reflected through elections, we need you to, you know, saddle up and ride one more time to ensure that progressives control the Wisconsin State Supreme Court through the next presidential election. So buckle up, folks. We got to do this all over again.
And, you know, coming out of the convention next month, you know, whatever the outcome of the chair's race, that will certainly be top of mind for, you know, the next state party chairs, knowing that before even the midterms, before we wonder if Governor Evers is running or isn't running for a third term, that there is this state Supreme Court race that's going to be coming up first. So we got an overall update on your run for chair, about Ben Wickler deciding to make an endorsement in the race. You've been making these tours around the state, and I've asked you all three of you, the same kind of, you know, don't let yourself be boxed in question. You know, Devin Remiker as the party insider or the Madison person, and like he said yesterday, he's actually from the La Crosse area and he's worked around the state. I'm sure William Garcia tomorrow will say, don't just think of me as the outstate candidate from La Crosse. I've done, you know, a whole lot and know a lot about the party. So likewise, we have to ask the question again. Joseph Pecky's the guy in Milwaukee. He's from outside the party. You know, he's done this work as a strategist, consultant. You know, how do you as well break out of that pigeonhole box and say, hey, look, I'm the full product over here?
Well, nobody ever succeeds when they try to put me in a box.
Okay, baby. Nobody's putting you in a corner either, right. Let me tell you.
That's right. No, I think our differences as candidates are most clearly visible when you look at the totality of our experience. There's only one candidate out of the three of us who has worked in other states, and that's me. I've worked in, you know, on the ground in places like Nebraska and Iowa and Nevada. There's only one candidate who has worked nationally, you know, in the headquarters of a federal agency managing 30 staff, 26 of whom are career federal civil servants, and then across 68 district offices around the country at the U.S. Small Business Administration for President Barack Obama. You know, Devin and William are great Democrats and good friends, and their experience is not equivalent in terms of what I have done and the experience that I will bring to bear on this. And so that's the case I'm making to delegates, is that, you know, talk is cheap and easy, and what actually matters is making change. Making change is really hard. And listen, if folks think that everything is A-OK and hunky-dory within the Democratic Party, there's a candidate in this race who is whose message is stay the course and who comes from inside the party. I don't think that is how Democrats are feeling. And if I thought that the right approach to curing what ails our party was to have the same people in the same positions of leadership in the same rooms, I wouldn't be doing this, right? Because if that's what the appetite for Democrats was, then I would have said, okay, then those candidates, you know, that candidate's in the race. But I don't think that's what people want, and that's what I'm continuing to hear around the state.
Well, and that's where I don't mean to take it in a negative direction, but I'm going to wrap up by asking this. When you talk to people, what, among party members, what is their top fear or worry or concern about switching chairs, and what do you tell them? What are their concerns?
Well, I don't think there is any concern, right? I mean, like, everyone is worried about the ability to sustain the fundraising challenge, but none of us know whether we'll be able to raise money like Ben Wickler until we're in the chair. But what people are asking is, you know, and concerned about is a top-down approach, a one-size approach, you know, fits all, that doesn't work for county parties, right? And so that is a real frustration among the grassroots of our party, and real challenges with how it comes to communicating our messages and our values, right? Our brand is busted. The communications aren't landing. People know that we need to be better and do better. And the more I talk about the ways in which we can do that, the more support I'm getting. And that's the case that I'm going to continue to make, which is we have to make changes. Listen, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And there's things within the party that are going well and going strong, but there's also a ton of work to do. We've lost two out of the last three presidential elections. Ron Johnson is still our United States Senator. So we've got work to do. And if you're listening to this and you agree with me, come on board. We'd love to have your support.
Joseph Pecky, thanks as always. Safe travels to you. Talk again soon.
Thanks, Pat.
Before we take our final break, a reminder that on this Memorial Day, the Milwaukee Brewers are back home for a quick three-game series with the Boston Red Sox before they take off for another road trip. Today's game is at 1:10, so you can catch the pregame at 12:35 on several civic media stations. Then it's a 6:40 game on Tuesday. Then another day game Wednesday against the Red Sox. 12:10 is the first pitch there before leaving for Philadelphia. I'm Pat Kreitlow in Chippewa Falls, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
At Tri-City Services, we're so proud to be celebrating 80 years of trusted service to Central Wisconsin. Since 1945, Tri-City has been the name you can trust to stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer. We're offering a limited-time anniversary special. When you purchase a new air conditioner, you'll get $19.45 off a new furnace. Call 715-423-5840 today or visit calltricity.com to schedule your free quote.
We're not comfortable until you are.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area, and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly, but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
When it comes to these programs and the outreach that's available, I think that it's all the more important that you guys are the work that you guys are doing. What are some of the programs that are available with Out Loud?
Yeah, so I think one of my new favorites, we just started this, Kin and Kind here in Wausau was generous enough to host us this month, is for a program called Cheers Queers, where we are just doing sort of bar takeovers. One night only, once a month at a bar, we take over and turn it into a gay bar. So we have one coming up on June 20th is our next one. And we'll be at Uncommon Pints in Rothschild. So it really is this opportunity. You know, like you mentioned on the school bus, it's hard sometimes to walk into a room and not be sure what's going to happen there, right? Is somebody going to be grossed out by you sitting at the table next to them? This is an opportunity to be able to, you know, walk into a bar and know that you're going to be not just welcome, but really like exuberantly welcomed into the bar. Folks are really excited to have you and to have you be there. So it is it has very quickly become my favorite program that we are doing now. So again, our next one is June 20th. We'll be at Uncommon Pints. Some other things that we have been working on, we have two kind of long-standing support groups that are happening. We have a support group for queer and for trans and non-binary folks, which has been very successful. It happens once a month. It's just an opportunity to get together and talk about what are the things that trans and non-binary folks are going through, having someone else who understands what your experience is, being able to talk about that in a really supportive and understanding kind of an environment. And then we also have a support group for parents of queer and trans kids. And this is a really great opportunity for parents who maybe don't know what's going on, maybe have some questions, maybe have some feelings, to be able to come in and say, you know, my kid came out, and my kid, when I say my kid, I maybe mean kid, but also maybe mean adult child, right? Mm-hmm. Once they're your kid, they're always your kid.
Yeah.
But to be able to come in and say, you know, my kid came out as queer or trans, and I don't know what I'm doing here. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm scared for their safety, but I don't want to be paranoid in front of my kid and put that worry on them. Like, yeah. My kid is changing their pronouns, and like, please help me. What are the tips or tricks to be able to do that in the most kind of effective way? You know, I just have questions. My kid's using all kinds of terms, but I do not understand. Please tell me what these things are.
Yeah.
So that I don't look like an idiot in front of my kid, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's not a blueprint for so many things that we're learning to adapt to and grow into as a society. From everything from mental health to different ways to recycle to a topic like we're talking about here, we are fixing the boat while we're on the water. And I think that when that comes to that, one of the first and best things we can do for all of each other is giving each other some grace with this and some understanding that, hey, I have a question, but I'm afraid to ask. And again, talk about a relatable feeling. Everybody's been in that one. I feel very confident saying everybody's felt that before. So you immediately empathize with that. And then it is just a matter of taking that big, brave, giant step of asking the question. And it really is. I don't like using the word brave lightly. I mean that. I think it is very brave to ask those questions and to reach out and say, I don't know, but I want to know. That's a great thing to be able to do, not just for, you know, yourself or anything, and obviously for the person in your life. But I think just as a great example in society, the more and more people we have doing this, the more and more common it seems to just ask the questions that maybe make us a little uncomfortable for a moment. But then think about all the time you're going to spend knowing that information, and how much better you're going to feel.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And this is our parent support group is a great opportunity for this, because so often we don't want to push that labor onto the folks who are most directly involved with it, right? We saw this with racism as well. We saw a lot of Black and Brown people were doing a lot of work for white people about understanding racism. This is a great opportunity to sort of get out of that, talk to other parents, be able to process your feelings, work through your stuff, ask your questions without directly asking your kid to help you with that work.
Mm-hmm. And when it comes to that knowledge and understanding it, taking it in and everything, there's nobody who couldn't be benefited by it. Even if you are not an individual who has a child who is going through something like that, or you're just somebody who wants to know more about this subject, cannot encourage you enough to reach out to the gang at Out Loud that want to answer those questions, that want to share this information and help out in any way they can. Were there any other events or any other programs you wanted to highlight, Andrea?
Yeah, so one thing I do definitely want to mention is that we have some open hours at our center. So we do have a physical location for Out Loud, and we do have open hours for that. So if you check our website or our social media, you can find what hours of the week that is. But one thing that we did, we got a very generous grant from some folks to be able to build a library at our center.
Wow.
So if you have questions you don't want to ask, please feel free to stop by. We've got tons of books. We've got like actual fiction, fun to read books. We've got fiction, but maybe not as fun to read books. Mm. We've got nonfiction. We've got fun nonfiction. We've got nonfiction that really is more of that kind of instruction manual that you were talking about earlier. Mm. Be able to just go through and read, like, okay, LGBTQIA+, what? That is a lot of letters. What are those letters? Mm-hmm. Right, to be able to just kind of do some of that work on your own as well. So I highly recommend stop by our offices. We've got lots of books, lots of resources. We've got folks there who are more than happy to answer questions, to be in community with you. If you just want to come and vent about how hard it is to date as a queer person in Marathon County, we will absolutely vent with you all day long.
That's right there is automatically a great resource.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A Vietnam veteran in Florida puts 22 crosses in his yard each Memorial Day to honor his friends who died in the war.
I can't let them go. They were my friends. I remember them, and I will always remember them.
After Russia launched a massive attack on Ukraine, President Trump says Vladimir Putin has gone absolutely crazy.
I don't like what Putin is doing, not even a little bit. He's killing people. And something happened to this guy, and I don't like it.
A reverend in Minneapolis led a protest yesterday to mark the fifth anniversary of George Floyd's death and pushed Target stores to reestablish its commitment to DEI. He says they haven't kept.
5 years ago, the CEO of Target said that George Floyd could have been one of his employees and with no pressure made a pledge of $2 billion. To see mega companies now walk away from diversity, equity, and inclusion is a stark contrast from where we were 5 years ago.